Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are getting the program Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. started off with First Baptist Church North Augusta Choir, led by Jeff Bumgardner. The song is entitled Visions of the Lamb, featuring Tyrande Green. Oh yeah, it's just a matter of time. He's going to reign. He is going to reign. We will see it. We will behold it with joy and with peace, those of us who have peace with him now. And we are talking about, again, those two subjects that we started out with on Thursday. I started two conversations, those of you who were with us on Thursday, two conversations. One had to do with, well, the joys of bedwetting. Actually, it wasn't the joys of bedwetting, but we were definitely talking about bedwetting and how to conquer it. But we were also just starting a conversation on video games and the brain. And I told you that I would more than likely, during the second hour Saturday, conclude each of those discussions, bringing us up to speed with what I will have already discussed on each, and then moving on into the new territory. Now, that said, I do want you to know that we're not going to be covering both of those topics at the same time. No. We're going to do it the way we did it Thursday. I'm going to start with bedwetting. And this time, once I conclude the bedwetting discussion, then we'll start with the discussion of video games and the brain. And y'all know what question I'm going to want to start out with when it comes to that video brain, get video games in the brain. There was a huge question I asked right at the start of the discussion on Thursday. Had to do with a number, a huge number. The number of video gamers collectively who are in front of the screens playing those games. And I gave you a huge number. Almost hard to believe. I think for me it is hard to believe. Not almost hard to believe, it is. Per week. If they had said this was the count on a yearly basis, I would have thought, wow, that's a lot of folks watching their screens to play video games. They did not give us the number for the number for the year. They gave us the number of people watching per week. It's amazing. Okay, I'll be coming back to it. I will. I'll be coming back to it. But for now, bedwetting. Keep in mind, it causes stress. We also mentioned that when a child is bedwetting, they really need our support. By the way, just as a recap also, while I'm thinking about it, of something that I discussed on Thursday about bedwetting. I know it's not a problem just for people who may be 5 or 6 years old, sometimes even 8 years old. That's embarrassing, embarrassing. But how about when a person might be in their late teens, early 20s, and for whatever the reason, bedwetting has again become part of the nightly process. All right, so definitely things need to be done that can help overcome that. Much of what we're talking about as it pertains to helping these young children overcome may be able to help older people as well. But I definitely want those of you who are listening, even if you don't have a problem with bedwetting, if you know someone who has a problem with bedwetting, if there's a chance that one of your children, one of your grandchildren, a niece, an aunt, a niece or a nephew might someday be faced with that, you can use this information to help them when the time comes. If somebody's already there, you can probably use this information to help them now. Okay, so we again discussed the fact that the child who wets the bed needs your support. I know that this is a time of great growth for the child and the caretaker because it is stressful for both. You know, let's say, for example, child wets the bed on a Tuesday night. Let's say it's the first week of the month. No matter what month it is, it's the first week of the month, and the child wets the bed. First Tuesday of the month. Not because it's first Tuesday. I'm just giving us a feel for, I'm just helping us have a grip on the time that we're going to be talking about here. If that child wets that bed first Tuesday of the month and does not wet the bed anymore, kind of a blip. No big deal. We're moving on. If the child wets the bed Tuesday night, then wets the bed again Thursday night of the same week, probably going to be a little annoyed and probably a bit baffled, at least a little curious. What's going on here? Go ahead and change the sheets again, though. Put the peed up pajamas in the washer. Okay, now, let's go back to being dry. And, everything's everything. Saturday of that same week, the child uses the bed again, wets the bed again. And now you might be starting to get a bit irritated. We're in the second week of the month now. The child urinates, wets the bed three times again. No, four times that week. Next thing you know, that entire month has passed, and that child has wet the bed every week, several times a night. What is going on? You could find yourself getting really, really, really upset. Fight the urge, because the more you stress out, the more you'll probably stress your child out. And the more you stress your child out, more than likely, the more you will almost guarantee that your child will continue to wet the bed at night. Because stress, you can best believe that child is going to bed either speaking positively to him or herself, I'm not going to wet that bed tonight, I'm not going to wet the bed tonight. Or the child is speaking negatively, I know I'm going to wet the bed again. I just know it. I just know it. I just know I'm going to wet that bed again. I don't want to, though, but I know I'm going to do it. And if, as the caretakers of the child, we add to their anxiety, their stress, by coming down hard on them, we actually set them up for failure. We help to set them up to wet the bed again because of the increased anxiety, the increased stress. And then we wake up the next morning, and you know the first thing that's going to be on our minds. I wonder if my child, I wonder if my grandchild, I wonder if my niece, my nephew stayed dry last night. Is that bed going to be dry this time? You rush on into the room to see if everything's everything and everything's not everything, because all the covers are wet again. Child is wet again. You're waking the child up, or maybe you can tell the child just woke up and it's business as usual. Wet again. This calls for great self-control, ladies and gentlemen. Don't beat your child. This is super frustrating. But it's just going to make matters worse if you beat the child. The child really needs your support. Don't put the child in the corner. Don't take away privileges. We're talking about some ways to try to deal with this. So let's try these other things first. Because what we want is to try to help our child relax as much as possible. And listen to this. More than likely, your child is not wetting the bed on purpose. It may seem that way, especially if you go into that bedroom, you see that everything is soaked, and your child is lying there in it. It could be that your child is just so upset about what's happening, they just don't have the strength, the energy, to get in there, to get up, and get moving. So I guess what I'm saying is, man, if there was ever a time, a need for teamwork between you and the child, this is it. And I'm saying you and the child, this is probably something that, you know, if it's feasible, that both parents, both caretakers can get in on, and maybe you all just kind of, you know how you divide it up? The nights that mom would feed the baby and the nights that dad would feed the baby when someone had to be getting up throughout the night giving the baby the milk. Well, you may want to do that with this. I know some of you are laughing. My husband didn't get up to help feed that baby. I hear you. Okay. Just pretend the way you could have divided it up. And divide this up. Don't put all of that pressure on just one parent if two of you are there. If both parents are in the house, you all just talk about how you can team up together with your child. Both of you team up with your child to help your child overcome this bedwetting, I want to call it crisis, but I don't want to use a word that might, you know, bring even more stress onto the scene. Let's just say overcome this bedwetting process. All right, your child needs your support. We also mentioned that it can be helpful if you discuss your past experiences with bedwetting, if that was part of the picture. I mean, when I say part of the picture, maybe when you were young, when you were 5, you had a setback that caused you to use the bathroom. Maybe you were 8, and for a month or two, maybe just 3 or 4 weeks, you had a problem with the bedwetting issue, and maybe even talk with your child about how you overcame, even if it was just a matter of having outgrown it. So think about that. Then take a look at some of the causes of bedwetting. As we mentioned on Thursday, it could be slower development of bladder control. The bedwetting problem could be caused by the child really sleeping heavily. I mean, sure enough, heavily. Stress and anxiety can be a cause. And this is something that we cannot overemphasize, ladies and gentlemen. Our children, people, humans, experience stress at our earliest ages. I mean, as soon as we are out of the womb. In fact, some children are experiencing stress while inside the womb. Mom's going through some pressure cooker days. Her stress can be transferred to her child. Baby's out of the womb. Hadn't gotten that milk soon enough. Baby starts crying. That's a sign of stress. And as we go through life, pressure, stress, anxiety. No one escapes it. So remember, that can be part of the problem. A child who has been dry and then suddenly starts wetting the bed may have an infection, or they may have had a big life change, such as a move that may be bothering your child. Is there some type of bad blood suddenly between husband and wife? Or maybe it's been there and it's just boiling over now. Is there something going on that may be particularly stressful for the child that has not been in play before now? Be considering that. And you may want to consider speaking with your doctor, particularly a pediatrician, if the bedwetting is a new problem. In other words, they had gotten to the point where they were sleeping through the night, night after night, week after week, month after month, without wetting the bed. And all of a sudden. And so again, in light of the fact that there's a possibility that the bedwetting is being caused by an infection, be sure to see the child's doctor also. Okay. One of the things that helps, kind of gives us a sense of empowerment, is when we can have a say-so in how we overcome whatever the problem is that we're dealing with. Whether we're talking about adults who may be having some challenges in their city or in their neighborhood, and they'd like for someone to support, help them overcome those problems. Whether we're talking about a child who's dealing with bedwetting, very often, if the person who is needing help can be a part of the solution by giving input that may help come up with the solution, that can help a lot. So, if your child is 4 years of age or older, be sure to engage your child in conversation about steps that may be taken to help the child overcome that bedwetting. Try to keep the discussion positive. That'll help build the child's confidence. That'll help encourage good bedtime habits. Now, in the meantime, you may want to consider using absorbent pants or waterproof sheets. That will take some of the pressure off, because at least you make sure that the bedwetting problem is not affecting your mattress and your box spring. So think about that now. Absorbent pants and or waterproof sheets, so that we can minimize the damage, minimize the harm as much as possible. Something else that we can do is offer praise and reward for staying dry. You know, there are times when it really is appropriate to implement disciplinary measures when our children are not performing up to potential as needed, as desired. This would not be one of those times. This is one of the times when it really would be a great idea to offer rewards for each success, but actually skip disciplinary measures when there is no success. Because remember now, in all likelihood, your child is not wanting to use that bathroom in the bed to wet that bed. It is something that is truly beyond the child's control, and that's part of the stress. It's using the bathroom in the bed, it's wetting the bed. That in and of itself is stressful, but also feeling helpless to turn the situation around adds to the stress. And since this is something that more than likely your child truly does not want to be doing, this is different from turning on the TV in the bedroom when the child's supposed to be doing homework in the bedroom. That's one of the reasons it's such a great idea not to have TVs in the bedrooms. But this just say if you do have a TV in the bedroom, in the child's bedroom, turning on that TV when the child knows homework is what's on tap, that's something that needs to be dealt with. The child has gone outside to play with his or her friends knowing they did not do what they were supposed to do first, and that is their chores. Knowing that they skipped their chores, that deserves some type of disciplinary measure. But when it comes to wetting the bed, this is something that your child really does not want to be doing. It would be better to skip the consequences for that, the negative consequences. But when the child does well, let's go ahead and reward the child for that and say, hey, let's keep this up. Let's keep this up. At some point, this is the way it's going to be from now on. Encourage, patiently support and empower. That's what we're doing, deliberately empowering our children to succeed. I'll be right back with more on overcoming bedwetting.